It's time now for the pre-show here on this Monday. God damn. Monday already, huh? Monday already, huh? Well, doesn't time fly? Okay, this past weekend, fuck. Jesus, man. Oh, I have a conflict, man. I have to, this coming Friday, we cannot, unless they're absolutely stuck at the, I completely fucked up these, this first date, this Friday night at the Improv. I've got a work conflict, and I didn't see it. When I got these dates, I said, yeah, we're good to go on all these dates, and I didn't see that the first Friday in July is coming up this goddamn Friday night. I thought it was, for some reason, I don't know how I got turned around, but I thought it was in 2 weeks. All kinds of shit got under the goddamn seawall this past weekend. Then we took Poncho over to the veterinary imaging, medical imaging or veterinary medicine imaging place down in Tustin, California today. It's a great, looks like a great place. Talked to Dr. Broom, great guy. Poncho needs to get some scan done on his thyroid to find out just exactly how big it is and how much of the iodine he's going to need. And that then dictates how long he is going to be down there at the hospital. And it's kind of an emotional thing because Poncho's this dude. He's a people cat, you know, and he flips out if he's not around his people. So he was okay, but and they have these little cages for them that have they've got, like, for the cats, they have these TV screens that show fish and birds and shit, and then they also have for the cats they have. What is it? It's more for the humans, I should say. There are video cameras inside the cage, so you can see your cat. I told Lauren, I said, I don't want to see it. And she goes, why? I said, I don't want to look at Poncho and he can't see us. You know, he can't see me. He said, I don't want to see him walking around in that fucking cage. I don't know. He's probably going to be fine, but what if he isn't, you know? Or what if he's like, looks like he's bumming? Or what if I'm just projecting because I get claustrophobic? Who knows, you know? But you can, there's a link you can hook up and you can see your cat, make sure he's cool, make sure he's being treated good, which is, you know, pretty important. this is a great place. And, Dr. Broom is the guy, and then they called Lauren tonight, and they said they would know on Tuesday, they would be able to tell her on Tuesday how long he needs to be in for. And, you know, the reason why they do that is because how much iodine do they need to sort of attack this benign tumor with, so that it, you know, begins to go away, and then we know when he can come home. And then for 12 days after that, we have to, like, dispose of his shit a certain way because it's goddamn radioactive, you know. Can't play with him for more than 1 hour, which I said to Lauren, I said, if I, you know, am petting him for more than an hour a fucking day, that's pretty weird, man. I probably don't spend much more than a few minutes a day just, you know, petting him. But that's a weird thing. He can't be around humans. Other animals are fine, like Thunder, the other cat. So he's going to be, for 12 days, he can't sleep in the bed with us. In other words, as the doctor put it, it's like turning a fucking microwave on to high and then sleeping next to that for 8 hours. He said, that's not healthy. That would be the same thing as having your fucking cat laying in bed with you. So I can relate to that. That's good. That was good communication there. So I get that. And then that lasts for 12 days. So, you know, you're having to dispose of his shit one way. You got to make sure that you're not sleeping with him. You got to make sure you don't spend more than an hour a day, which is pretty, you know, I think it's pretty good. And then after 12 days, on the 13th day, you can go back to normal with him. So, you know, but this process, this irradiating the thyroid to get rid of this tumor, will add, the doctor said, you know, a good, you know, 10, not add, but, you know, he'll be healthy for another 10 years, the way he put it, because Poncho right now is 10 years old, so it's possible he could live to be 20. That's pretty old for a cat, but not unheard of. And I was looking up, we actually looked up the world's record for the oldest cat. Have you ever looked that up? And you can look up the record for the oldest dog. I don't know what that is. For some reason, I just think dogs are going to live longer than cats. I don't know why, but so it was interesting for me to see what the oldest cat is. And I'm probably fucking this up, but I believe it was around 34 or 35 years, maybe even 40, believe it or not. Seriously. There's a new, the oldest cat ever just passed on, and there's a new oldest cat. So, whoever and whatever he is, you know. Come on and wake me, shake me when it's over. This guy Bartolo Colon of the New York Mets, he's quite the big boy, isn't he? God, is he a big dude. He's like one of those throwback big boy. Yeah, we just gave up a gopher ball there, man. Nice job. The Bravos just went yard on his fat ass. And here I was about ready to be all respectful and shit. All right. Oh, man. Golon. Oh, they just jacked another one on, man. Were they playing this game at Bravo's Field or whatever the fuck the name of that place is? So the Braves beat the Mets. Seven-game losing streak. Who does? Nats in Milwaukee. Dodgers just beat up on the fucking Nationals. Nationals suck. Wow. This one guy with the Nationals is going apeshit. Baseball players... Look at this goddamn sun. Now, what is that? Oh, he missed it. This poor guy just lost the ball in the sun. Left fielder for the Nationals just completely fucking... Whoever that long-haired dude... And he's wearing shades. Completely lost the fucking ball in the sun. Nationals won the game. Yeah, man, that's real wicked. Real wicked, baby. Come on and wake me, shake me when it's over. Let's see what we're doing here, Bill. Buddy. I'll tell you one thing. If I never goddamn see Twitter again, it'll be too soon. I'm so fucking sick and tired. Oh, God. You know, social media is necessary for what I do. It's part of the promotional infrastructure of what everybody does nowadays. You promote your webcast, you promote your podcast by way of social media. Twitter, Facebook. Those are the two biggies. Donald Trump slips further behind Hillary Clinton in new polls. Yeah, but the thing about Trump's voters are they're more sure they're going to vote. Trump 51-39%. Nearly 2 in 3 Americans say they think Mr. Trump is unqualified to be president and are anxious about the idea of him in the White House, the post-ABC poll found. In contrast, 61% think Mrs. Clinton is qualified. Mr. Trump is coming off two particularly damaging weeks. We already heard about the Mexican judge, okay? That, you know, he gloated out about predicting the attacks in Orlando. That was bad. Despite his woes, not all the results of the new polls were heartening for Mrs. Clinton. The Journal NBC survey found that her lead essentially disappears when candidates from the Green Party and Libertarian Party are included. She essentially tied Mr. Trump with 39 to 38%. Together, third-party candidates grabbed 16% of the vote. Senior aides to both candidates spoke on Sunday morning news shows, and their words left little doubt about the intensity that the race is taking on. Robbie Mook, Mrs. Clinton's campaign manager, said on Fox News Sunday, Donald Trump is probably one of the most reckless, unfit candidates to ever seek the presidency. Mrs. Clinton, he said, is probably one of the most prepared. Paul Manafort insisted that he and Mr. Trump had built an operation that was able to take on Mrs. Clinton, addressing concerns from Republicans that their infrastructure. Our campaign is organized. We are ready. We're going to have a good convention, and we're confident that we are not behind the Clinton, that we are not behind the Clinton campaign. Now, Manafort, you had earlier said you're going to win this thing in a walk, man. So you got to keep that attitude going. Come on now. Otherwise, people are going to think you're full of shit. Not that they don't, but not that I don't. I mean, I know you're full of shit, but, you know, you got to, for everybody else, especially the people who are going to vote for Trump, you got to keep that attitude, which is, as I saw it, you know, you were quoted as saying, not a problem. We're going to beat her, and it's going to be easy. That's what you said. Fractures from Brexit votes spread into opposition Labour Party. Jesus Christ, what is this? 10 people were injured Sunday after violence broke out between a white supremacist group and counter-protesters. Two of the injured had critical stab wounds. 9 men and 1 woman were between 19 and 58, the fire department said in a tweet, and had all multiple stab and laceration wounds. One of the injured refused to go to the hospital. It was not clear how many remained hospitalized. The Traditionalist Workers' Party, or TWP, whose leader describes it as a white nationalist group, had a permit for a noon rally near the state capitol. Another group showed up to stop them from carrying on their permit. The counter-protesters showed up ahead of time in a large group, probably 300 or more. They were positioned around the capitol to stop them. Matthew Heimbach, Traditionalist Workers' Party. So this piece of shit is, oh, shit. Well, here we go.
But you did tell us how he does the anti-fascist. He's not.
Sorry. Wait a minute. I'm always making that mistake.
I'm so sorry. Hold on for just a goddamn minute. All right, here we go.
When they attacked, our men defended themselves to be able to drive the attackers.
Let me see this.
Digging into the past of the chairman, Matthew Heimbach, he is a very young man in his mid-20s, a graduate, 2013 graduate of Townsend University in Maryland. And we showed you video last hour of an incident that he was involved in March 1st, 2016, at a Trump event, a Donald Trump event in Louisville, Kentucky. And we just got our hands on a civil complaint regarding this incident of the video you're seeing now. And we have to remind you, this is, of course, a one-sided complaint. This is against Matthew Heimbach, the man that you're looking at there now, the man who's a chairman of the Traditionalist Worker Party. But he is described by the Southern Poverty Law Center as, quote, the face of a new generation of white nationalists. Heimbach is affiliated with the Traditional Worker Party, a recognized hate group, self-proclaimed political party, which is ideologically opposed to, among other things, different ethnicities living together in the same community, intermarrying. Heimbach himself has been quoted as saying, according to this civil complaint, it's separation or mongrelization. We talked to him last hour our assignment desk did, and this is what he told us about the event. He was not at the event, we should mention that, but he did tell our assignment desk the anti-fascists used knives, bottles, bricks, and chunks of concrete. They broke off a construction site. When they attacked, our men defended themselves to be able to drive the attackers off. Now, according to police, there is some discrepancies in just how many people were stabbed. Numbers range between 5 and 7 people. Heimbach himself is quoted as saying one person from his traditionalist worker party was stabbed, possibly in the neck, another hit in the face with a bottle, a glass eye. And just to remind our viewers how this all started, just about 12 p.m. Pacific time, this group, a recognized hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, was confronted by an anti-fascist group. Now, the Traditional Workers' Party did have a permit to take to have this rally take place, but the anti-fascist group, by any means necessary, had every intention, according to one of their members, of making sure that this did not happen. And you see the aftermath there, some bloodied neo-Nazi types who were injured in this melee.
I don't know, man. I don't. If they had a permit, they had a permit. You know, that's kind of fucked. You know, but the world is done with Nazis. I don't know, what are these people stupid? The world is fucking done with Nazis. This is not a Nazi world anymore. There is no future for Nazis. There is no, there's no place for Nazis. I don't give a fuck if there's angry white people. I get that. But if these angry white people believe that it's about somehow separating and subjugating the black, you know, I don't know what their trip is, man. You know, in some instances they say they want, you know, separatism. In other instances, they want all these people shipped out. So there's a whole attitude of, you know, we need to get them out of here and we need to be in control somehow. I mean, that's kind of where it's coming from. They, you know, and they talk about a lot of different things, but anytime you call yourself white nationalist, it's you got to understand, man, it's dog whistles. People call it dog whistles now. It's a fucking goddamn foghorn, if you ask me. The world has had it with these motherfuckers, I'm telling you. You know, I mean, just what do you think the world is gonna do, man, when they were sweeping the fucking ashes out of the ovens in 1945, that was it. That was the end of the fucking line. The world was never going to be the same again. There was never going to, there was no going back. And, you know, the battle carried over to America with the civil rights fight. I'm not saying people were put in ovens here. I'm just saying we had our own shit to deal with if we call ourselves a democracy. This bullshit, this oligarchy shit. Let me tell you, the oligarchy, motherfucker. The oligarchy is run by fucking traditional whites. This guy, this traditionalist white workers' party, this is dumb at a whole new record level. If he's afraid of the few, the controlling few, bitch, I got news for you. They're white. Unless you don't count Jews as white. And then he could probably pick out a few Jews in there and say, well, they're not white. The fact is they're white, whether they're Jewish or not. There's no fucking cabal of Mexican, Asian, black business people that are running the show. We got a black president, and that fucking flipped these bitches out, man. They just went nuts. Okay. That's one man's opinion. I'm Phil Hendry. Okay, what are we going to do here? All right, we got Dr. Ron Tarner, who's going to talk about that. We have then, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, 10 injured, suicide bombers strike Lebanese village, firefighters advance on deadly Central California wildfire. I mean, we got over the whole Bozell firefighter thing, but I've done that before. I've done that already. Been there, done that, Jack. Let me see, I got a good one here from General Shaw. You're on Twitter now, right?
Yes, I'm on Twitter because they said, you know, go ahead and get a goddamn tweet account. But I don't know what I'm doing. I tweeted some Donald Trump stuff, and you said don't do that.
You can do whatever you want. I just don't think.
All through this lonely, sleepless night.
Coach brisket, no biscuit. Huh? Yeah.
Kevin Baxter, Vernon Dozier and Kevin Baxter.
Well, I've coached professional football for years. I've been a sideline coach.
You've been a sideline coach?
I have. I've been a sideline coach. No risk it, no biscuit, and I've told you that.
I wish you wouldn't keep saying that.
But that's the philosophy.
Well, I don't understand no risk it, no biscuit. That sounds like you've got a team full of puppy dogs or something.
No, they're not puppy dogs, but...
Kevin Baxter. This is hysterical. All right, come on and wake me, shake me when it's over. Won't you tell me and wake me when it's over? Wake me, shake me. When you're on Butner in your boat and hope to spend the day afloat, be sure to keep an eye out for Miss Bobby. She'll bear down on you fast as hell. She's on a beer run, you can tell, because drunk driving is her favorite hobby. She's Bobby. It's called I Go Like Hell. This is her poem. And wake me when it's over. Come on and tell me. Don't say I'm crazy. June? What does that mean? Today at 3:38. Can we get a new graphic for the show on 7 off? Fuck! We are really... God damn it! Man, I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to, land my, peoples, man, let me see. I got Greg Hahn, who's confirmed. That's it, man. I got Greg Hahn confirmed. That's it, man. Shit. And I also put a message into Aaron. This is all right.
Shake me, wake me when it's over.
All right, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
And wake me when it's over.
All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Bobby reads her poem called I Go Like Hell. We have the thing here. All right, now, that Dr. Ron Tarner is going to be at the... I like that one. Okay, then we have Vernon Dozier, Kevin Baxter. Vernon's probably at the gym. Why not? And then we have Bobby at the lake. Okay. Testing 1, 2. What is that? What is that, a boathouse? Oh, she's doing some... Is she doing laundry? All right, we're ready to go. Just like that. Look at his split, man. Look at his split.
Because of the ceremony, the inauguration ceremony that took place there day before noon. What happened, though, was that many of the clashes that did break out happened outside.
Basement. While the money's talking to me, that's personification. Paper in my hand till the day that I'm finished.
Test 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. All right, here we go. You all set? Yeah, okay. Hi, it's Phil Hendry, and all of the voices and the characters and the creations, the marvelous osity of it. Wait. Hi, it's Phil Hendry, all the characters and the voices and the creations and all of that stuff is all